Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have with us Sylvia Hall. After struggling with postpartum mood challenges, she turned to natural remedies to improve her health and well-being. Her research led her to explore the gut-brain connection, but she couldn't find a probiotic that met her needs. She decided to create one herself, and that's how Lifted Naturals was born, which is the first product of the mood-boosting probiotic. Beyond her business, Sylvia is passionate about empowering others to embrace a happier and healthier version of themselves. She's proud to have created not just a brand, but a well-being movement. Her success has given her family new opportunities and the freedom to explore her creative side through Honey Pot Publishing, her own small press. So, of course, we have a lot to unpack because this is going to be an incredible conversation. We have a brilliant, creative entrepreneur who is just so passionate about the work that she does. So I will pass the mic to you, Sylvia, and share with our listeners a little bit more about you and the story that got you into the work that you do.
So I actually like to say I waltzed out of the womb an entrepreneur. So I don't think you have to be born an entrepreneur. You can also be made one, which is my husband. I helped to make him into one, and we can talk about that later. For me, it's always been about this idea of bringing forth an idea and taking nothing and making it something. And that is like this pulse of aliveness that really is my vision that leads me in everything that I do. So I think we'll have a lot to share with one another and with your audience. And I'm really excited to share some of my stories.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, right before we hit record, we're just chatting and we have so much in common, all the way from like being that creative entrepreneur to the vision and the leadership that it calls for to be in those positions, especially at the forefront as a CEO, a founder, and just passionate about the works that we do. So I'm curious, you know, you've created a few, the probiotic to the business, to the publishing, a lot of things. You sound like me. Like, who am I talking to? Which rabbit do you want me to pull out of this hat, right? Let's talk about the backstory that got you into when you talked about the struggle from postpartum that led you into creating this business and this beautiful product and so on.
Yeah, so it really was a matter of feeling like I wasn't satisfied with what the solutions I was looking to find. So I had discovered on my own that specific probiotic strains of bacteria were impacting my mood. I was able to figure that out through my own sensitivities. So I would try one formula or even one specific strain at a time and see how I felt. Then I'd go and look up that specific strain and see what kind of research it had in regard to mood, gut-brain connection, neurotransmitters, because really that's what it's all about, that two-way chat. Your gut talks to your brain, your brain talks to your gut. And I had found that I was spending way too much time just managing my mind and trying to think positive and realizing there were certain times that just felt impossible. And there's other times where it felt effortless. And of course, some of that was probably hormonal and cyclical as well. But the gut support really helps even it out no matter what time of the cycle that I'm in. And so for me, it was using those sensitivities of noticing how I felt when I consumed a specific type of bacteria and then putting it together to say, okay, I think these are really a magical combination. And then from there, it was a matter of picking up the phone, calling different manufacturers and trying to see who I could work with. And really, like I said, I've always been entrepreneurial, but this was a bigger endeavor than anything I'd ever done. Everything else I had done was in the realm of making jewelry, or I went through a life coach certification program and I was building a coaching practice. And when I had this idea for our own custom formula probiotics, I really knew it was going to require bringing in more people. And for that, for me in this particular product, it was a manufacturer and also my husband that I wanted to bring on board, not just saying, hey, like, do you support this idea? Because it was going to be spending some of our money, but also I really wanted to bring his assets to the table because as someone who has a lot of new ideas, I'm not always as good at finishing my ideas. So I saw that weakness, quote unquote. I saw my strength. And really, it was almost like this golden halo of like, oh, you really are good at all the things I'm not as good at. And of course, that had been evident in our marriage in other ways whenever he was suddenly plumbing. And I'm like, how do you know how to plumb? And so he has very different gifts than I do. And for Lifted Naturals, this idea, this movement of mood probiotics, I was like, we got to do this together and it's going to be really cool. And luckily, it was really cool.
That's awesome. And I love the story behind it. And your approach to it is so fascinating because it's very similar to mine when you said, you're really great at starting these things, but how do you finish? How do you get through the execution of it? Because we're so easily bored. Like, have done it. We cross it off our list. We're like, okay, cool. I did it. And the novelty kind of wears off and you're just like, now what? And I love that you brought in the counterpart to those areas. And first of all, the awareness to realize that's a pattern. And how do I fill this gap? And what can I do? And so naturally, that's where your husband comes in and kind of counterbalances where you are, right?
Yeah. And for him in the beginning, it was like, your business, I'm helping you with your business. And then slowly, it really did become something where I could see our business. And that was a really cool transition. And he was still working at his job as an engineer for the first 2 years of building our company, but we were testing, hey, what would it look like if you quit your job? Let's pretend you don't have a job and let Lifted pay us, see how it works. And it was working. And so he was able to quit his job and then really fully step into the role of more the numbers and behind the scenes kind of role, but so helpful because it took a lot of that off my plate. And I was doing things in a very scattered way that he's like, wait, you've been doing it like this? And I'm like, yeah, hanging by a thread on some of these things. And so he kind of brought in some systems and that was really helpful. And that really just cleared the plate for me to focus on the creative aspects of business and even side projects that really made me feel alive and made me want to keep going with Lifted. They kind of were like cross training, if you will.
I am curious now how you got into probiotics. Like,
so it was really
Right.
This may sound interesting or surprising, but health is actually not my favorite subject because every subject is two subjects. And therefore, when people talk about health, they often actually talk about the other side of the coin, which is disease. And that's just not as fun to talk about. Like, let's be real. I'm like, let's talk about feeling good. And it's like, yeah, I'm not feeling good. And so you're constantly doing that dance of which side of the coin am I talking about? So for me, entering the health realm was really a matter of needing a solution. And that is the ultimate way to build a business is that you believe you can provide a solution for somebody. And I'm always trying to teach my kids that. Like, they're 13 and 15, so I'm continually just planting seeds of entrepreneurship, of you can find a way to provide a solution. It's either going to be a product or service or a combination of both. And yeah, the mood probiotic thing was a matter of looking for a solution, feeling like the solutions offered to me were not working for me. And then there was a little bit of like anger, to be honest with you, about the solutions and what they caused. And so I was just looking for a more natural solution that didn't have a slew of problems. The brain fog that I was experiencing from some of these other solutions that were given to me, it was like the wrath of a mother who said, no, you're not going to take away my creativity and my pizzazz. And so that was really what led me very strongly to find a better solution through the gut-brain connection, mood probiotics, and you know, that first product we launched, which is mood-boosting probiotic.
That's amazing. And so I guess for somebody who might be newish or maybe some of these are questions that I have as well, how do you know when it's a probiotic versus hormone or brain fog or if you're a neurodivergent? So how did you land on that it was probiotic? And for those that are listening, what she said, a lot of what we produce is in the gut and we don't realize that. So we might be masking or covering symptoms with other things. So I'd like for you to unpack a bit of that.
Yeah, for me, the most simple way to put it is that if you're struggling with mood ups and downs and have any sort of digestive complaints, like those two are like that power combo of like, okay, actually check and check. That is me. And so from that regard, a mood probiotic, which means a specifically selected strain made to support nervous system, neurotransmitter production, how the body handles stress, specific strains designed to do that could be beneficial to you. But I always like to say, it's not like I'm talking about a cure-all, fix-all sort of deal. I'm talking about a slight momentum generator when you feel a little bit of the edge taken off. And then what can you create? And for me, I've always been really good at taking a little bonus or a little blip of luck and running like crazy with it, right? Like that's all I need is just a little and then I go. And so if you do find yourself with a digestive complaint or and the mood complaint and you try a mood probiotic and you say, hey, I actually do feel a bit lighter, that is when we also implement the movement, the sunrise on into our eyes and on our skin, all the different ways that we can nourish our body in addition to the piece of the puzzle that is gut-brain connection support.
Great advice. I love that. And so as you're coming up in this journey and you're launching these products and you're starting to realize there's momentum going there, and as an entrepreneur that is very creative and shiny objects, how do you keep that focus on the intent? And I know that you said you're not really, health isn't your thing, but how do you stay focused in there in this business and staying true to who you are, what got you started into it, and keeping that alignment going?
Right. And as I said, like the subject of health never really was super enticing to me. Our manufacturing team has like chemists and lab people and that kind of confirm when I say, hey, this is non-histamine producing, correct? And they can double check that. So it's like a team of people that bring the idea to fully to life in a compliant way. We have a partnership that's very important to us with our manufacturer, that integrity is the utmost priority. And I don't sell something I don't believe in, something I wouldn't take myself or give to my own kids. So that is a very high standard. And yet there is an element of like, we have 7 different products, I think, right now, and I can't take all of them, or I don't want to take all of them. And so the easiest way for me is always to sell something is to take it and love it and talk about it. But I can't do that for all of them, right? Like, it wouldn't be good for anybody for me to try to take them all and pretend like, okay, everyone needs all of them. Like, that's not even how I... So we have 4 different mood probiotics now. And we did that because we found that what works for one person doesn't always work for the next. And so we have 2 formulas that are probiotic and prebiotic, 2 formulas that are probiotic only, 3 of them that are more histamine sensitive. So if someone's dealing with a lot of allergies, congestion, headaches, they may want to lean more towards the histamine-friendly formulas. So this is not a lineup designed to take them all and, you know, just suddenly level up. Like, that's not what I created here. And so from that like perspective, and to your point, even though the easiest and best way for me to sell something or to continue to talk about something is to believe it and take it, that's not a viable option here. And so it really has required me to go deep into, just because it's not what I need doesn't mean it's not what other people need. And so really trying to connect that need to the product, you know, the audience to the product, of sharing the benefits of each individual product, and knowing that that is why we create them that way, so that what works for one doesn't work for the next, and we have a variety of options. So another thing that really helps me to stay true is just to really focus on that creative aspect of giving from the overflow. So not just trying to keep my cup full, but actually doing things that keep my cup so full that when I share through marketing or through podcasts that I do or whatever it is, it's giving from that overflow. The cup's still full. I get all of the juice and then I share all the that's overflowing. So trying to find ways to that I stay nourished and lit up so that I can do that in an overflow sort of way, not in a like, oh, I'm pouring and getting tired. Because like you said, the idea of getting bored with ideas, I mean, this is so real. It's a thing. So how can I find a way to make it fresh for me? And that has been the name of the game at 7-year in to our company. So we're like 7, I think we're coming up on 8 years, but I think the 7-year itch could be very real.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. But yeah, staying true to who you are and keeping that focal point where, yes, I got into business because I needed this. And even though I have created a product that served my need, I've realized now the masses don't all need what I needed. So how do I serve more people and meet them where they're at, while also staying true to you without having to bend and sway? Okay, wait, if people don't need what I need, now they're wanting this product, do you jump ship and go in that route? And instead, you looked at that as adding more products to your line and still serving them. And that's part of the whole leadership in creating the authentic brand, business, and alignment with who you are. Love that.
Thank you.
Let's talk about confidence for a moment, because I can relate to so much of what you're sharing. And there's those moments where when things don't go to plan or you feel like it's not taken off, and you said it took you a couple of years to even get this momentum going. How do you stay true to that confidence and keeping that faith in the sense of going like, okay, I'm confident this will work out. What does that look like in this entrepreneurial journey and especially for the big vision ahead.
Yeah, so I actually love talking about confidence. I feel like I could each day wake up and talk about it and probably have a little different opinion and perspective on it. And so for me, bringing a certain level of confidence to what I do is absolutely required. Without it, it's like, go back to bed, try again tomorrow. Because if you don't believe in you, nobody else is going to believe in you. And so the question becomes, how do I believe in me? And I feel like there's two things that really come to mind that I would love to share. And one is when it comes to saying what I'm going to do and then doing what I'm going to say. And that follow through is, as we've mentioned, something we both struggle with. But that's why if we really chunk it down into a smaller bite size, like what is the thing, the one thing, maybe that book was really useful for me. What is the one thing that would make everything else easier or even unnecessary? So that is a matter of integrity once again. And because I bring so much integrity into Lifted Naturals, caring so much about our formulas and how we are making an impact in the world, that same integrity I bring to myself of, I know I feel confident and lit up and aligned and energized whenever I am someone with integrity and I am doing what I say I'm going to do. So that's one aspect. And then the other very important part of confidence, in my opinion, is storytelling. And I'm not talking about just the words you rattle off to other people, but mostly the words that are being rattled off into your mind about yourself. We all have ups and downs, even a confident woman like myself. And I do identify as confident. And I have moments where that confidence feels questioned. I understand that there's this kind of a metaphor I like to imagine, thousands of pairs of glasses on a table, and you can just pick them up and put them on. And each pair of glasses tells a different story or shows you a different lens or angle of the world. And so you could put on a pair of glasses that says, could have done a little better, could have, you know, whatever. And then there's hundreds and thousands of other glasses and you put them on and say, hey, you're doing a pretty good job. Hey, you did what you said you were going to do. Hey, you really gave from your heart. You didn't just let that person walk on you. You honored yourself and didn't do that self-betrayal thing that sometimes happens when you want to appease other people. So for me, understanding the story that we're telling, and that really takes a really pretty high level of self-awareness to understand what is the dialogue I have about myself, what is the view I have of myself and that identity I've created in my mind. And one of my favorite exercises, and I guess this is a bonus tip when it comes to confidence, is to really have different avatars that I tap into that help me to kind of get into the mode of creation. And I don't really have names for these avatars. It's not like I'm putting on a wig and then pretending I'm somebody else, but it's just an energetic shift that I experience when I know there's a task to be done. I can either gamify it by doing it quickly, or I can make it more fun by adding music. And it's just kind of tapping into another energy of kind of make believe. Because we're all kind of making this up anyway. And so I found that the more I can make things up to my advantage in a moment when I'm trying to complete something that will help people, it's like, get on the floor. You don't have to do a push-up, but get in the push-up position. Well, while I'm down here, I might as well do one. It's the mind tricks that I feel like can really help me to show up the way I want to and tap into that best self energy that I know it lies within me and lies within us all.
Oh, I love that. It's that inner persona where we just shift. We shift that dynamic. And I can relate to that so much. And it's like, I'm a completely different person when I'm at the gym than when I'm on podcasts or when I'm on stage or when I'm just home in my office. It's about setting that tone and that vibe to set you up for that success. Because yes, your headspace will always try to tear you down because it's that inner critic that literally never shuts up. It'll always keep piping up about all things. And you know, whether it's something negative or it could just be that looming thought of like, oh, don't forget to do that. And did you check in? It's like this noise that you're trying to quiet, but in a way that keeps that focus. So not everything is always in that negative context. But to your point also about confidence, confidence is, I believe, a choice. It's something about showing up every day confidently. And to be honest, there was a season and I was just like, you know what? Yes, I have my brand, The Confident Woman. I'm not feeling very confident today. And how do I show up as that version? But you just have to trust that that version will always change in and out. So you can't let those few sour moments ruin the entirety of what you built. But to your point, put on that music, dance around, shake it out, because it's really how we feel in our emotions is energy in motion. When we could shake that out, go to the gym, lift heavy stuff, put it down, come back, refuel. Now I'm in a whole different space than what I was when I left. The best advice that I can give is get up and get out of your chair. If you're getting stuck, if you're getting frustrated, if you're getting overwhelmed and that creativity isn't available or the inspiration, take a look at your scenery and just take a break. Step out of the house, step out of the room, because taking your eyes off that focal point will allow you that breathing room for your brain to really start to be like, oh, there it is. I can breathe again, because you're not forcing something. You're just letting things flow. So I love that advice. That's great tips. And, you know, when you look at the entirety of what you got going and what you've been building, I love this question because everyone's answer is different. How do you quote unquote balance it all? You're a mother, you're a business owner, you are a creative entrepreneur who has multiple passions, you're multi-passionate, multifaceted. You have a husband that you work with, but also when do you have time for like husband-wife time? Let's talk about that, because I think for those women who are like, dang, how does she do this all? And I'm over here barely hanging on by a thread, or I got one of those things and I'm crushing over here, but I can really use some support in this department.
Yeah, I feel like everything changed for me when I discovered the difference between being a business owner and being self-employed. So I had been growing what I thought were businesses, but I was always having to work in order to make money. And I was like, something's not right here, because I'm working a lot. I'm working hard and I do feel maxed out. And so there was this point in my journey where I started to really learn about the distinction and the difference of being self-employed and being a business owner. And so when I started to grow Lifted, it was almost from this like fed up place of, yes, I'm going to help all these people. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. Like, it was very uncomfortable to branch out and do this kind of industry that was totally new to me, but just based on a solution that I felt like I needed. And if I needed it, other people would too. I really did know my values, which were creativity, family, time freedom. And so from that place, everything for Lifted Naturals really had to go under the filter or through the filter of, is this scalable? Is this leverageable? Is there a way that I can do this that won't eat up all of my time? And so each decision we made was really made through that filter. As I grow new businesses or new ideas, I really do ask myself, how much is this giving? How much is it taking? And for instance, Honeypot Publishing was a creative project I did when I was getting frustrated with Lifted as far as doing a lot of marketing things, feeling like they weren't working. So I tied it all together and made some minimalist coloring books. I have a joy journal that is actually my top seller at Honeypot Publishing. It just encourages you to write down one moment from the day that brought you joy. It's creative. You get out your markers if you want. It can be as messy or as beautiful as you want it to be. And then it's like a double whammy of a prize, because then you look back through your joy journal and you can see all these cool moments. Like, oh yeah, I remember that walk with my son and when he told me that. Or I remember, you know, sipping that coffee and it did just for whatever reason taste so good that day. So yeah, when I decided to build that, I knew it was very scalable. Once I make it, I publish it through Kindle Press, KDP, excuse me. And by using that, it's very hands-off. So each of these ideas I've been putting into action, it's a matter of tapping into my gifts and what really lights me up and that I want to share and make an impact with, but also knowing that I don't want to trade time for dollars anymore. I don't really want to feel so limited by it. So for me, it was rich dad, poor dad that I learned about, that difference between self-employed and business owner, your own business. But it really is very important to understand the distinction between those two. So balance is a really interesting word. I do aspire to try to rest when I really don't want to, but need to, kind of like a toddler who needs a nap. Like, I never wanted to take naps. In fact, if I laid down with all the other kids at the daycare and I was quiet, when she would come in and check and everybody else would be asleep, and she'd be like, all right, coming up. Because I was too busy to take a nap. I was the only one. A lot of ideas then, now, and always. What I do instead of this balance idea is I try to incorporate rest, like meaningful rest, like lay down. I do different meditations. I'll do guided meditations. I'll do silent meditations where I do just a mantra that I repeat. I learned from Dr. Joe Dispenza. He has this thing, no place, no time, no thing, no one, nowhere, which is a total disconnect from everything that just resets my energy. I'll do a balancing of the chakras, which he talks about as well. I learned a specific modality through Dr. Joe Dispenza. Really love his work. Resting. And then the other side of that is when I am with the people that matter most to me is bringing as much presence as I can. Now, I'm not a master at this. I'm just saying that I've found, rather than focusing on tons of balance, if I can bring some presence, phone down, eye contact, heart open, connecting, engaging in a meaningful way with the people I love most, that feels nourishing to me. As my kids are teens now, it requires less and less time, like maybe 60 to 90 seconds, and then they're gone anyway. You know, I'm like, wait, come back. So it changed a bit. It used to be more of that longer times together, but you know, they get older and a little more independent. And so for me, it is about keeping that cup full, resting when I need to, and also presence. I feel like our attention is our greatest currency at this point. And so if you give that to somebody, that's the ultimate gift. And even as I was rattling on about time for dollars and leveraging everything, I've kind of come full circle in my business where everything is so scaled and so off my plate that I've kind of gotten a little bit lonely. Here I am thinking like, do I want to open up my coaching again? Because that was the very last business I was running before I launched Lifted Naturals. So I'm like, man. So I've been playing around. I actually created a course called The Frequency Framework. And it's this idea of shifting your energy in 10 days. It's an email challenge. And even that, I've sold some. And I'm like, oh, but they're still just like taking it and going. I'm like, wait, come back. I want to talk about it. So we're a work in progress of figuring out what an ideal business looks like. Because if you scale everything and you just live in a little cave on your corner of the cul-de-sac, then you might end up finding that you want more connection in your business. So that's really a trial and error sort of thing, I think.
Oh my goodness. So many good tips. I agree with you on so many of these things, because I think, you know, in this personal growth development space, self-improvement space that we're in, we always talk about that balance. And that's why I use air quotes on it, because it's the same as perfection. It doesn't exist. There's moments of balance. There's moments of perfection, right? That perfect moment, that perfect kiss, right? But balance is just so fleeting and it's so subjective and loose, right? Because just like the wind, it's gone. So how can we incorporate more? And then I also hear the word about harmony. Well, harmony to me seems like it's ongoing, it's systematic. And I don't think that that's real either, because nothing is permanent and sustainable forever. But I like your approach of what you say. It's not about the balance, it's about intentional rest. And that has been something I personally have been incorporating so much more into my life. And it feels so weird. Like you, I have an overactive mind. I don't know how to sit still. I'm a fidgeter. I'm an overthinker. I'm literally the over girl is what I coin my fun way. Overthink, overcomplicate, overwhelmed, right? So like when we're in that space. So I've been taking that intentional time to step away, to rest. And I give myself a whole day off once a week, which was so hard and so rare. Working at home, I mean, past my office, and every time I walk by, I'm like, oh, those looming thoughts, so I got to do this. And it's like, nope, today is the day you rest. So it's, I think rest is, the way I used to see rest is that it was a form of laziness, because why would I stop when I could be productive? They always say, like, if you're sleeping, somebody else is pursuing your dream and things like that. And it makes you feel like shamed and guilty. And it's like, that's icky. Work. It is. But I bought into that. That was like the very strong hustle culture, like a very driven, like, I don't know. I remember reading it, something about that in like Mark Cuban's, an article he did probably 10, 15 years ago. And I'm thinking now, I had no desire to be a Mark Cuban. That man has like something that is so not on my radar. But why am I following his plan and his advice? So when I started flipping that script and thinking, okay, what are ways that I can start incorporating? And to your point, meditation, intentional, just time out, set the phone away, just maybe lay on the couch and just like stare at the wall for a moment. Because while we can stare at the wall, it's like our brain just takes this pause. It's almost like it goes on idle. And the greatest ideas and the creativity, it's just, it flows because there's nothing in the way of it. And I love that because presence is a huge part of my daily routine as well. So in my gratitude journal every day, I write down the three things I'm grateful for and then three things of what I want to feel that day. So I'm calling that in. And so for me, it's always to feel purposeful, present, and productive in a positive way, not as a performer or a producer, So what can I do that's productive? Meaning, am I moving closer to my goals? Am I achieving the things that are set just for today without getting ahead into tomorrow's? And I think that really does bring you here into that present moment. And so when I bring that word present, it keeps me so focused on today, here, and now. So I love these tips that you've shared. It's just part of who you are authentically as an individual. And I think as business owners and leaders, we have to not ever forget that we are humans and we are the forefront of everything, the brand, the business, what we do. And if we're not taking care of ourselves, that means essentially the business will suffer, our relationships will suffer, and everything we built, if we don't nourish, could eventually come crumbling down. So having that solid foundation, which I know that you say that you're not big on health, but you're embodying health in such a different way that it feels so natural and that's who you are. So we talk about value.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Embodying who you are becomes the brand. It becomes the epitome for everything that centers around that. And so obviously you talked about ways to balance and preserve and take care of your health and well-being. How much of that, and I know the answer, but I want you to share, how much of that actually plays into that gut health and that mood and your probiotics, just having all those things compounded? It's like, man, what an incredible feeling, right?
Yeah, stress will manifest in your gut quite quickly. And so if you're under a lot of stress, I think one of the first keys you may notice would be a digestive issue. And the more ways we can find to de-stress. And I think what's wild is that a lot of us don't really think we're stressed, but we have thought patterns like resting is lazy, right? Like, I'm not stressed, but I also believe resting is lazy. Well, that is mismatched immediately. We know that if we're not able to rest, so it's not something like we earn our rest. We literally just get to rest. We should rest. We want to rest. We need to rest, not because we worked really hard, but because as humans, we do best when we rest. So I think clarifying that too, as far as there's times I consume content on my phone. That's called scrolling. I don't usually feel really that great after I do it, but I do it. I sometimes become really cognizant of it and I'll watch my screen time and I'll just go put my phone somewhere like separate and, you know, challenge myself to just stay away from it. But true rest, I think, does require to move the phone. And like I said, I'm not saying you can't ever scroll or connect with people through funny text, snaps, or social media. It's just that's not resting. That's something else. That's technological connection that is kind of cool that we have access to, but also can damage our mental health if we're not careful. So just kind of that qualifier of what is and isn't rest. And the reason I bring that up is because as someone who is so creative, I've found that the more we consume, the less we create. So it really requires bringing up this idea that our phones are highly addictive. And they're doing their job perfectly. They're doing exactly what they were designed to do. Keep us on as long as possible. So then we've got to decide what is our job and what do we want to do? Do we want to be on as long as possible? Or do we want to create actual dopamine from accomplishing tasks or doing a project that we say we're going to do? Because social media and our phones provide cheap dopamine, but I think we can actually create our own real dopamine that is much more satisfying through the achievement of some sort of goal. For me, it's even just clearing off a countertop. Like, I love having a clear counter, like clear mind, clear space. It's just a good reflection for me. Also, it goes along with that idea of our hands sometimes need to be a bit busier. I will sometimes only use social media from my laptop because as a business owner, I need to check in. I posted that and someone commented, I need to respond. Using my laptop for social media is much less addictive. There's not a scroll function that's happening where I'm like, you might scroll a bit and then you close it and it's not hard. But there's something so wild that happens from our phones. So this was a bit of a, I just felt like it needed to be said though, for people that are wanting to create something. They have a vision for something greater than maybe what's right in front of them. They want to take nothing and make it into something. I think just beginning to be very real about consuming versus creating can be perhaps one of the greatest steps forward that you can take.
It's for me to remember. Just about the embodiment of how you bring everything together. And, you know, when we look at the health and wellness aspect of it and boosting your mood and we also talked about priorities and boundaries and having that self-respect. And I think that as we look at just holistically speaking, having those boundaries as parameters to keep us in alignment so that we don't go to places where we know that's not conducive, it's not the best bet for us, but allowing us sometimes, you know, like have that candy bar or have that sweet treat. It's about balance, and I wouldn't say moderation per se, but a balance of yes, I can, but not in a way that's going to overpower. When I talk about balance, it's like, yes, allow yourself that dopamine kick, allow yourself to kick back, scroll on your phone, but keeping those in parameters, I think, is what you're saying here, right?
Yeah. And just understanding that there is, it's like a ratio of consuming and creating. It's two buckets. You're either doing one or the other for a lot of things in your workday. And which one are you doing? So just bringing a heightened awareness to that alone can be really a shift to help propel you forward to make those dreams and that vision a reality.
Right. And to your point also about just scrolling on your phone, sometimes it's just a form of numbing out. But what we don't realize is even though as consumers, we're taking in our feed, but yet we don't know the correlation effect of how that's triggering our stressors. We don't think that we're just looking like, oh, well, you know, there's competition or, oh, I missed out on this. There's these FOMO. There's all these things that we are thinking in the back of our head, even though it might not be shouting so loudly. But I love the book, The Body Keeps the Score. And so as we're looking at that, we don't realize these little triggers, these little like paper cuts that we're doing are essentially causing more stress. And that stress then impacts the gut, and the gut produces the stress hormone, cortisol, the imbalance, the digestive. And so now we're seeing the bigger picture here, because we might think that, oh, these are all just little micro moments, little micro steps. Yes.
Stress bucket gets filled up. And yes, for me, it's actually, I see sad things and then it like will take my breath away and I'll be off my course. And it's like, I don't know that person. I don't even know that person who posted about the person, but like, and then there's the other side of it where someone's suffering and there's pain and it's like, I'm feeling that. And really we were not designed to know so much about all these random people. We're meant to have a more close circle of awareness that we keep tabs on. And so I do think that is tipping our stress buckets over more than we realize in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, even just right now in this moment of us talking, I'm seeing it. And sometimes you don't realize that you're in it because you're in it. Now that we're talking about it, I was like, dang, the light just got shined on. I'm like, I'm going to turn off my notifications and all these things. And, you know, honestly, I struggle too sometimes with the addiction of the phone because so much of our work and our connection and our clients and our community.
Oh, we justify it, right?
Right. But that's why I talk about having those priorities and having those boundaries. Giving yourself an intentional time. Okay, I'll give myself 15 minutes to scroll. And you might need 15 minutes to kind of recover from that 15 minutes of scroll to let your body process and feel what it needed to feel, even subconsciously, because there are little things that are going on in the back of our head. So not everything is always brought to light. So I think I just say that with like caution and awareness.
We're calling ourselves out alongside of you, right? I think that's the reason we can do it, is because we're speaking from experience, not saying you shouldn't this or that. I'm saying when I do this, I feel you know. And so from that place of calling ourselves out, we can lovingly say, and if you relate at all, you might benefit also from doing these different things, which putting your phone in a different room, trying to use social media only from your laptop just for a test. That's something that I really like to do. Limiting your time. Also on your time, your screen time, you can scroll up and it tells you how many pickups you had of your phone.
Yeah.
These are not numbers we really actually want to, but sometimes without awareness is the first step of making a change.
100%. This conversation has been incredible and obviously eye-opening. So how can people learn more about you, get their hands on your probiotic and just learn about like your products and how they can benefit from them? Share all the details.
Sure. So if the mood probiotics are of interest, check out liftednaturals.com. That's our website. It shares where you can buy, which is Amazon or even directly from our website. If you're more interested in more of the mindset, energetic stuff I talked about, sylviahall.com is my personal website. And then honeypotpublishing.com is the joy journals and the gratitude journals and all that fun stuff. So for now, those three places really should get you started and choose your own adventure as to what intrigued you the most.
Oh, I love that. So, of course, all that will be in the show notes below. So be sure to follow. And if you buy the product, try the product, let her know how it impacts you. And, you know, hopefully this whole conversation is there to help you feel more confident from the inside out. So thank you, Sylvia, for being our guest today.
Yeah. And one last thing, if you go to liftandnaturals.com, if you scroll down, it says, which mood probiotic should I take? And that kind of helps break it down. But if you have any other questions, you can reach out directly and we will be happy to guide you through that as well.
Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. If today's conversation spoke to you, I want to invite you to take the first next step in building your confidence from the inside out with my free I Am Enough Reset, a 10-minute guide to help you break free from the lies of not enough and step into the truth of who God created you to be. Take the next step toward unshakable confidence and freedom. You can grab it right now by clicking the link in the show notes below. Remember, you don't have to do this alone. You are made for more confidence, peace, and purpose. Until next time, take care and God bless.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.